Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves.
We are chatting with Walter F. Wild, Ph.D. He is the author of a new book entitled Winning Investment Decisions. Hello, Dr. Wild.
Hello.
Dr. Wild, if you will, please tell us your background in financial industry so everybody knows where the book comes from.
Well, my book deals with the interplay between finance and psychology. And I have a BA from Yale, an MBA from Stanford with a concentration in finance, and a PhD in clinical psychology from Rochester. Although working as a psychologist, I served on a financial company's board and successfully handled several portfolios, including my own.
Well, Dr. Wild, it certainly sounds like you have the background to write a book of this ilk. And it is a book that deals primarily with beginning or uncertain investors and basic guidelines. Why did you choose that type of investor?
Well, I was asked by a group of women who knew nothing about investment other than that they knew nothing about it. And they asked me to if I would give them a series of lectures on investments. And I said I would, but I'd have to gather my thoughts. And the book came from this, from after gathering my thoughts, and it was directed to those people that asked me.
It sounds like you started taking notes, and there were so many notes, you just decided to put it all into a book, yes? Dr. Wild, you talked about your background in psychology. How is psychology germane to investing?
Well, investment can only take place by human beings behaving through dealing with each other and with ideas. Human behavior is the subject of psychology. Emotions trigger many investment decisions, often harming the investor. Hope, fear, greed, and panic play their parts. Fear can trigger disadvantageous sales and can keep one from opportunities. Avarice often steps in to force a bad buy when stocks skyrocket. Market swings can be caused by emotional reactions that can in turn trigger emotional reactions. Other behavioral qualities and habits can hurt the investor. Awareness is the most important behavior in investing. Awareness of oneself, of one's vulnerabilities and appetites, these should be attuned to one's investments.
Dr. Wild, when you're dealing with amateur investors and even professional investors, what aspects of investment do you find they wrestle with most?
Well, there are several. One is that gold is a hedge against inflation. Since the 1970s, when gold's link to the dollar was severed, the correlation between the price of gold and inflation has been zero. So there is no hedge. But gold can be a refuge from a soaring inflation and panic. It can be seen as a panic barometer. Another myth is that I've heard many times by people who are starting to invest that savings accounts are risk-free. Inflation almost continually drains their value. And when one combines inflation with the taxes paid on the interest, one may be thinking one's getting some value, but one may be losing the possibility of money.
And Dr. Wild, are there any false myths that amateurs wrestle with as well?
Well, that stocks are for gambling. Across the 20th century, index stocks have been less risky than any form of investment except land. Although recklessly handled, when using leverage like buying on margin and short selling, stocks can be very risky. Again, some feel that if they get a tip from an insider, it guarantees success. But the tip can be wrong. Some insiders treat likelihood as fact. And you may even lose with an accurate tip, as others almost certainly will have heard or guessed before you the market price and may have already adjusted before you act. If you then sell short, those who acted earlier will now cover their short sale, causing a reversal and a loss for you. The January indicator has been touted, even though it's been shown to be false, and the Kondratiev wave is used by some, but is only a non-validated hypothesis.
Dr. Wild, you have mentioned stocks, and you've mentioned gold, and you've mentioned land. So I want to stick with that theme, if you don't mind. Tell me what you believe are the relative advantages and disadvantages of those common types of investments, stocks, bonds, gold, and real estate.
Well, first of all, let me say that every form of investment has the possibility of gain or loss of sale. Here, they differ only on the extent of the gain or loss. Stocks offer the greatest possible gain or loss, land next. Bonds have the greatest likelihood of payoff. They are debts of their issuers who are legally obligated to pay the stipulated interest and principal. Even in bankruptcy, bonds have the prior claim to residual assets. Gold, however, has no payoff. It only rises and falls in price. Stock represents ownership of a company. Most established stocks pay dividends, though not guaranteed like bonds. Dividends can increase over time. Stocks have more steep rises and falls and may therefore cause more gains and losses. Over a long period of time, stocks and land are most likely to increase in value. Land has no payoff except for its use. On the other hand, it's beset continually with property taxes.
Dr. Wild, in the current economy, what would you say is the riskiest type of investment, and what would you say is the least risky type of investment?
Well, I'm envisioning the economy to change and go downward. If it does, and then eventually settles, stocks will be the things. Stocks and lands will be the things to hold. Maybe gold also, but one should stay away from bonds because I expect there will be with all the debt out there, there will be a great inflation and after things settle down, and that will just tear the value out of savings and bonds.
Dr. Wild, I know when I was a beginning or an uncertain investor, I heard terms like buying on margin and short selling. I didn't understand what they were. I now have a little bit better understanding, but if you will, please tell us how somebody can reap the great advantages by buying on margin or by short selling.
Well, you can reap great advantages, but you can also lose your shirt. When you buy on margin, you put up only part of the money for the sale of the stock. The bank or the broker will give you, will lend you the rest and sell you from the broker's portfolio of stocks. If the market reverses, though, you may be in trouble because if things go down, the bank will call your loan, and then you will have to either pay up or well, you will have lost a lot of money. Short selling means to sell stock that you don't have. You are, in a sense, borrowing stock from the broker. And when you sell that, if the stock goes the way you predict, you're in good shape. Otherwise, if it goes the wrong way, then you have some trouble ahead of you. You have to cover all the expenses. If you habitually buy on margin, unless you are an insider or have amazingly good luck, it will likely come out as a wash, with many commission charges having nibbled away on your capital.
If you were dealing right now with a beginning investor, if they were sitting in front of you, across the table from you, would you advise them as a beginner to work things that way, to buy on margin or to short sell?
No, I wouldn't. I would advise them to stay away from buying on margin and from short selling. The risks are too great there.
Dr. Wild, what are your guiding principles for investing safely, for enhancing capital and providing growing income while maintaining tranquility and minimizing the attention you have to pay to your investments?
Well, first of all, I would invest with a long-term horizon. I like to look ahead about 15 to 20 years. Short-term changes are whimsical and harder to predict than long-term market price. Long-term market price tends to fluctuate around a normative valuation of intrinsic worth. Fear and lure can pull the price below or above. But in the long run, the price will tend to reflect the intrinsic value of the investment. Next, I would gather the information needed to know the issue's underlying value, the bond's yield and security, the stock's safety, yield, earnings growth, and persistence. Get your information from that from companies engaged in selling advice and data like Value Line, Investment Services, or Standard & Poor's, and not on firms selling securities, as they may have a hidden agenda. And thirdly, I would buy only when the cost is appropriate to the basic value. Then again, I would diversify across both industries and locations. Diversification decreases risk, but if carried too far, will blunt gains. With an eye to safety, invest for persistently growing capital and streams of income. And I would maintain sufficient liquid reserves to see you through market reverses without having to sell when the market has dropped. Know yourself and invest according to your temperament and your relative desires for safety, income, and capital appreciation.
Dr. Wild, what do you find is the most common mistake made by beginning investors?
Well, the first one I've run into is people want to stay away from stocks because they think it's too risky. But then they see the market going high for the stock they were thinking of, and everybody touting it, and they buy at precisely the wrong time when it's about to come down.
Dr. Wild, did you enjoy writing your first book?
Yes, I did.
And where is the book available?
The book is available online on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, and on my website, walterwild.com, and on bookstores. I've gotten it into bookstores, some bookstores on the island of Oahu, but it's not on the shelves of other bookstores yet.
Well, Dr. Wild, I wish you a lot of success with the book, Winning Investment Decisions, and I hope you take all the money you earn from the book and invest wisely.
Well, I plan to do that.